Right now, it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. We get together with John and Janet from the Lakeville Journal. We take a look at the stories that they are following for you, not only in the Lakeville Journal, but the Millerton News. They are available at tricornernews.com on the web. You can also find them at newsstands and areas throughout, pick up in the tri-state region, and you can even get home delivery. So right now, we'll say good morning to Janet and John. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Elections are over.
Well, you know, kind of.
Yeah. I mean, there's still a few things. There's still a few things left, but.
Yeah, we're still on it, but yeah. we've posted what we are sure of, and yeah, things still aren't official, but you know what? Yeah.
You know,
votes have been cast.
Yeah, and in. The congressional district in number 5 here in Northwest Connecticut turned out to be a very important district, which the Republicans tried to get back by spending incredible amounts of money. And I'm not blaming the Republicans. The Democrats do this also. They pour outside money into races that they find are important. And it almost worked, but Hannah Hayes goes back for her third term representing us in Washington, D.C.
That's right, and we have to remember, money doesn't always do it, you know? Remember how Donald Trump won, not by spending a lot of money. And you can throw money at, you know, many, many, many ads showing up all over the place, but voters have minds of their own.
Yeah, and not, like I said, not one party does it. It is a standard practice with parties to come out.
Right. Without an infection, that's a good way to put it.
With that. But anyway, so, and once again, you can find the updates at the Lakeville Journal, tricornernews.com, under their banner, the election results. So that is underway here in the northwest corner. We're finished with that. But a real big story, which I think is a true testament to the volunteer services and the cooperation between all the volunteer services in Northwest Connecticut, the state police and emergency, with that gasoline tanker rollover and spill in Norfolk. It shows how impressive our volunteer services are.
Yes, that was definitely a very big story, and it will go on for some time. Anybody who travels Route 44 through Norfolk now knows something really big has happened there. 8,000, I'm assuming almost everybody knows that more than 8,000 gallons of gasoline leaked out of a tanker that rolled over and brought, as you point out, the services of all kinds of agencies, including state and even the Connecticut National Guard, to really sort of put a stop to the damage that was happening. So it will be, I think, we keep our eye on it, but I think they're going to reopen the road on Friday. Meanwhile, there's a sort of circuitous detour. It's really affecting truck traffic. But, yeah, very big story in Norfolk.
You know, well, like I said, the great thing about it is, first of all, the Canaan Fire Department got there so quick, they were able to put the buoys up to contain the leak where it didn't get into the water system. But the interaction between all the agencies was seamless, and it had to be seamless to prevent a bigger disaster. And that's how well we have trained our volunteer services to interact with other services. It really is a true testament to how truly dedicated these people are that work here in our fire departments.
Yeah, this is
absolutely
when the training kicks in.
Yeah, it's just it's just amazing, and we send out appreciation to them all. That is the top story where you have, and you've got actually a picture there which shows the tanker overturned. Right below it, John, you did a story on Freund's Farm, and it seems like they're always there. They're always ready to jump ahead and try something new, and they are once again moving into a new era.
Yes, this farm, if people don't know, is really has been cited in the past for innovation. It truly is an advanced farm. It was the first farm in the state, dairy farm in the state of Connecticut, to use robotic milkers. It has developed a cow pots product line, which uses the cow manure to create planting pots, and that's now those are now distributed nationwide. But they really had a three-pronged operation. They had the dairy operation, which they are with, they're with the Agrimark cooperative, and they distribute under the Cabot label. So when you buy Cabot cheese, you know, you're seeing, you're eating cheese that came out of at least you know, some Freund farm cows, and they have really fabulous farm stand that Teresa Freund has started out as a roadside stand, is now a full-scale commercial kitchen and nursery. So it's decision was made time to for Ben and Matthew, who took over from their father Eugene, to find a new manager for the cow operation. So they found what Ben calls a cow man in Pine Plains. And this is a young man, 27 years old, Ethan Arsenault. He's in partnership with Lonan Farms in Pine Plains, and is going to run the dairy. And he leased the building, and Ben and Matt will always be there to help him out. But it's truly a fascinating story about generational change. And right now, getting a third generation change into a dairy farm is a very rare event. It is 10% of the farming handoffs are go in that direction. So they are very lucky to have found a cowman who I saw him the other day at the old school deli in Canaan. He was just taking a break. I asked him, what was he doing? He's not in the barn.
Yeah, it's you know, we're lucky. We have amazing farm operations side by side on that Route 44 heading up to Norfolk here in Northwest Connecticut. And what Freund's Farm does also for the community by helping out with fundraisers and events like that, they are truly a three and now a four tier operation, which operates just absolutely amazing. I want to move to another story, which is happening actually tonight. There's a town meeting in Sharon going on at Sharon Center School. That, of course, is the Comcast proposal to split the tab with the town of Sharon and bring internet service to 250 families. And you have another story about what's now Frontier Communications has now come forward, and they're offering an alternative fiber plan.
Yes, Frontier has shown up. Frontier is throughout Connecticut and wanted to sort of put its hand in the game to consider having the town use a Frontier solution instead of a Comcast solution. It does seem a little bit sort of last minute, but we will see tonight. Tonight's meeting is really a focus on the Comcast proposal, and it's kind of hard to figure out. We're definitely not deciding between one or the other tonight, but we'll see how this unfolds tonight. It should be a pretty interesting meeting. Well, in addition, Frontier has now approached Falls Village and is interested in bringing broadband access to about half of the town.
Well, you know, what's interesting about this meeting tonight is this meeting tonight really will direct the first selectman whether to move ahead with a town vote. And once that's decided, of course, then you have the other step of the Board of Finance comes in. And once again, at the end of all this, the great thing about our form of government, when all these things are done, all these steps are done, people will have the vote that decides yes or no.
Right.
It's a great thing about the form of town government that we have. And, you know, who's to say that Frontier, if the town votes in favor of this, that Frontier can't come along and offer their services once again to people who there's going to still be some people in Sharon that aren't covered. So who's to say that you can't have both? But I think tonight's a meeting where many people should show up because this is an important first step in Sharon really moving into the 21st century with internet service. Moving on to your story about Kent School, once again now, you've got the story from Lila Hawkins about the resource officer, and that is going to come to a town vote.
Yes, there's a meeting coming up right after Thanksgiving. It's a town meeting to discuss a couple of big items. One is whether to put $200,000 in the budget to essentially pay for a school resource officer for the school. The trooper would be a state trooper, and the trooper would be used by the town during the non-school year. There's another item which is about $100,000 for EMS services during the upcoming fiscal year. So it's going to be a big, it will be a big town meeting. The, you're right, the Board of Finance has to be on board with this too.
It's a great three-step process that, our governments have here. Moving on to Patrick Sullivan's story, Salisbury has approved the town board and committee names that they have to really go through every year.
Yeah, this is a kind of an extensive list of names of people who are from animal control officer to the Scenic Roads Committee to the Northwest Council of Governments, Parks and Forest Commission, Conservation, Water Gatekeeper. It's a very long list. I would imagine that some readers may find they didn't really know about all of these committees and panels.
Nice picture there. The sidewalk work is now completed as a new sidewalk was put in basically from the Scoville Library out past to the edge of Salisbury and Lakeville, which now makes Salisbury a walkable town basically from one end of the town to the other. And you can get to Salisbury also. They have the rail trail path, but you know, that's, I think the sidewalk looks kind of good there, and I think that it's going to help when there's more fall events that go on and events in the town.
Right. I actually was I can't remember, it might have been I was downtown having a cup of coffee and I was hearing people talking about taking a walk on the new sidewalk.
I'll tell you what, they did a great job, the picture looks great for one reason. We got the fall foliage that fell
exactly
back on it. So that I want to go into Salisbury Bank. They just finished up with one their shredding program, which starts in the summer, and I think they did 56,000 pounds of shredding, by the way. But now they are starting off with their food drive, where all the different offices will accept non-perishable food and donations for local food pantries.
Yes, and this goes, of course, across the line to New York State with branches in Dutchess County, Orange County, Ulster County. There are, in total, 14 branches will be accepting items. The local food pantries, which we've been focused on a little bit this time of year, are in need of donations, and so there's a list here of things that they really especially are looking for, from canned goods, cereals, you know, peanut butter, paper towels. But it's commendable that the bank is doing this once again.
Yeah, and also side by side with that, once again, the Sunday in the Country food drive is operational this year, and if you want to make donations to that, which serves food pantries in our immediate tri-state region, you can go to Sunday in the Country food drive .org. They're two great programs that go along to feed people and to give food to food banks. As we move on, you've got a story about North Canaan weighing downtown growth through partnerships.
Yes, this is a group that approached the town to suggest that they could facilitate downtown development sort of through a structured approach, and the selectmen decided to refer this over to the Economic Development Commission. As some of you, you know, may know, North Canaan is having a little bit of a revitalization. We've written about a new store that's going in, the electronic bikes, the e-bikes from Cornwall. There's a sort of railroad nutrition store, which that's the name, but it really does power smoothies and Aikai bowls. And then there's a coffee brewer a roaster in North Canaan.
Where Jim's Garage used to be, yeah.
Exactly. And then on top of that, the emissions testing has been relocated right there on Railroad Street from Arnold's. So it's kind of getting to be a busy place.
Well, it's good. The advantages of the advantages of keeping the emissions in North Canaan was truly important. I'm glad that was done so quickly. A lot going on in Canaan. Let's go to Falls Village because they have finally released their list of the candidates for receiving the American Rescue Plan Act funds in that town.
Yes, they have dispersed pretty much almost all of this tranche of the ARPA money. It was almost $150,000 worth of grants to the Village Housing Trust, the Center on Main, the Daycare Center, some bridge repair. Housatonic Youth Services Bureau is being given something, the Senior Center. So they've really doled out, pretty much almost all they have. There's about 13,000 left. This will be turned over once again to the Board of Finance for final approval.
I love the story. Turkeys for Teachers on November 19th, and that affects teachers in North Canaan.
Yes, it affects teachers pretty much everywhere. A branch manager of the Moxie Group, the Bay Equity Home Loan operation in West Hartford, has been teaming up with local sponsors, and they have really are planning to give away 150 turkeys at the Stop and Shop in North Canaan. They may actually give away more because they're having a big turnout. So there's a way to register. It's teachers and staff to get a turkey on November 19th at the Stop and Shop.
All right. And moving over to Cornwall, voters passed the capital spending plan in that town.
Yes, this was more than 20 people attended this town meeting, and they decided to, hold up a lot of it was held at the Cornwall Consolidated School, but this is the new capital spending budget cover the fiscal years, the next 4 years, coming 5 years, really.
All right, and a new librarian has taken over as the executive director of the D.M. Hunt Library in Falls Village.
Yes, she started last month, and she's worked for the library really for almost 9 years, and she calls herself a serious reader. And she started up to, she will now work with the children's librarian, Rita Delgado, but her name is, the new executive director is Meg Scher. And we have a photo of her standing there in the library. It's also one of the, it's a partner with Libraries Without Borders, so it's kind of a collaborative library with the Northwest Corner.
All right, and pickleball, I talked about this last week. Jack Mahoney, I think, introduced pickleball to our area here a while ago, but now Cornwall has joined footfield courts, and pickleball has now come to Cornwall.
Yes, they're going to share the basically the basketball courts at footfields with pickleball, and there will be a first clinic, I believe, held on Saturday from noon to 2 o'clock. They just noticed that pickleball is a sort of national trend now. I have not played it, but this was the subject of a recent Board of Selectmen meeting, and they're welcoming pickleball.
All right, moving on I want to go to the editorial page before we go to Compass, Janet, because on the editorial pages, your editorial, be aware of those around you, extend a helping hand.
Right. At this time when we are all thinking about food pantries and how the need goes up as we go into the holidays and the end of the year, it's a time when we should be aware of all of those around us who need to take advantage of having that resource available to them. And we had a woman, Claudia Barnum, in Salisbury come forward to talk about an experience she had when she went to the corner pantry in Lakeville, and in sharing that experience talked about how her family has gone through a difficult couple of years, as so many families have, and need to be able to care for each other, and would do so much better if those around them cared as well.
You know, I've noticed since I've awaiting knee surgery, with walking around with crutches at various stores and gas pumps. I am absolutely flabbergasted by the people that come up and offer to help. I was once going into my house, and somebody who was biking up the road to go on the rail trail, not even from the area, got off the bike and came over and asked if he could help. I think we live in an area where people helping people is a major part of the reason it's so great to live here.
That's right, and we certainly have that sense in Salisbury that there are so many who are willing to step up and help one another. This situation we write about in this editorial is a different situation, and people need to be aware of it. Please give it a read and let us know how you feel about it.
Your letters continue here. A lot of letters. Sharon Hospital, of course, really gets the bulk of the letters this time. A lot of letters on the hospital and New Vance Health.
That's right, because, of course, this issue of the paper, November 10th, comes out after the election, so no more election letters. That will go away. As you say, the election is over. But many other issues that are still very relevant to our readers, and they're writing about it. We have a lot of letters. They're about the hospital. They're about veterans. Jane Strong from the Equus Effect writes about the challenges and complex realities that veterans face. Please do give that a read. And we're so grateful that our readers see our pages as a place to talk about what they care most about.
The letter that really impacted me, one of them, was "By Two They Came, and So They Went, Zeus and Hermes."
That's right, by Shafin Sharif, yeah. Wake Robin, and so many of us saw him walking those dogs around town, or were very familiar with them over years. And so he lets us know that they went to their next life, and talks about what they meant to him and to his family.
All right. And before we get to Compass, the Hilltop Road solution is being studied in Sharon due to the people speeding and using that as a shortcut, as a matter of fact.
Yes, this is this was a town meeting in Sharon. Brent Colley was noting that he's the first selectman that his quote is, "This is larger than you think." There have been engineering studies to try to figure out how to curb the speeding, no pun intended, up there on Hilltop Road. And so they have an engineering study. Someone is recommending really some humps instead of bumps. And there will be three humps installed south of the crest of the hill. This is not going away. I think they're going to have further meetings on this, but it is definitely, as you point out, not only a speeding problem, but now it's a detour.
That's
not a detour, but a side cut.
Yeah, a shortcut, people, instead of going through the town.
Yeah.
Okay, now we'll go on to Tri-Corner Calendar.
All right, well, we have Alex Wilburn has written a nice piece on "Should Art Live as the Earth Dies?" He sometimes comes at his topic a little sideways, but this is really a sort of look at a book written by Jerry Saltz, Pulitzer Prize winner, who will be discussing his book at the House of Books in Kent on Saturday. And it's about, you know, looking at the issue that happened last month at the London Gallery, where there was somebody threw, you know, some thick orange goop onto a Van Gogh painting. Fortunately, the painting, it was the tomato soup can thing all over again. The painting was not damaged, but Alex takes a look at, you know, the impulse about protesting art.
Well, it's a thing. It's a shame that these museums and art galleries have to go that extra step.
But they've already done it. So they've already covered it with plexi. So I remember the first time I saw the Mona Lisa, I was like, wait, A, I can't see it. B, it's really tiny. And C, what's that thing on it? And that was 40. We're well into this,
I'm a big fan. I think most people are a fan of freedom of speech and the right to protest. But there's also a limit to really how you want to protest when you take things away from other people. So
it sort of depends on how you were raised. I think. I mean, the principle of protest is absolutely one that must be upheld. You know, throwing an ice cream in a mailbox, maybe not.
All right. Well,
yeah. And there's another exhibit. It's on display at the Standard Space in Sharon, and it's a sort of numerology, symbology exhibit done by Brooklyn-based artist Matt McGee. Alex sort of points out that there's one red U and black U, the letter U, is part of an exhibit, and U apparently at this point means, you know, something to you. It means I understand, I suppose. And there's also a Eloise. Remember the, you know, Eloise.
Eloise in Moscow, my role model.
I know. And the life and art of Hilary Knight, the illustrator, is at the Norman Rockwell Museum. And not to you know, forget that Roxana Robinson will be at the Cornwall Library on Saturday, talking about, you know, the life of Georgia O'Keeffe.
All right.
Her book, Georgia O'Keeffe, Reading the Work as Life.
All right.
And listen, don't miss our story on high school football. The Yellow Jackets are having quite the season.
That's right. Housatonic, Gilbert, and Northwestern. They are 6-2, and they're playing great.
They're going to play in Waterbury on tonight at 6 o'clock.
All right. More stories like this and more in the Lakeville Journal. And once again, election results at tricornernews.com. Guys, we'll speak to you next week.
Thank you.
Have a good
Thank
week.
You.
That is this week in the Lakeville Journal. And once again, they're available online, tricornernews.com.